All right, there we go. Is this on? Yes. All right, well, welcome to Ray Christian Fellowship. I think you know who I am at this point. Senior pastor here again. Great to have you here. Some of you guys showed up for the 9:30 study that was going to start up in the upper room study. I'm sorry about that. Blame Amazon. They just didn't deliver the study books in time. So I'm being told they'll be here Wednesday, so try again for next week again. Hope you can join us. But I heard Andre did a great job downstairs of the Acts study in Rick's absence. So thank you, Andre, for doing that and leading that as well this week. So for those of you guys who missed last week, we started a new sermon series called Better last week. And so the point was to think about how God might be shaping us into the men and women this year, right? Typically around this time of the year, at the beginning of January, people are starting consideration about New Year's resolutions, things they want to do. And so last week, I introduced this idea, how much do we actually intentionally think about who we want to become in Christ Jesus for the new year? Do we think intentionally that way as we think about what exercises or diets we want to do and things like that? What are some of our spiritual goals? And so last week, we introduced this sermon series, again, to look at four areas where maybe the Holy Spirit might be prompting us to grow in this year. And again, what I've said, this is not an exhausted list. This is just four areas where I'd like to say get the creative juices going in our minds about maybe how the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And so, again, we were looking at a couple of things. Last week, we looked at priorities. We looked at Matthew 6 and looking at the fact that it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. And so what we were learning there is our priorities, our emphasis on pursuing God is of the utmost importance. Because when we get it backwards, things become disorganized, out of balance, out of place, so to speak. When we put the cart before the horse, there's a problem there, right? So, again, it's the idea of priorities. Is God our first priority? This week, we were looking at our relationships, and then next week, we're going to look at our choices, and then finally, we're going to actually spend 2 weeks on witness. How can we be a better witness? And so, again, these were just some areas that I was thinking about that hopefully will inspire some thought, that will get you thinking about how maybe the Holy Spirit might be speaking to you about. Because I also introduced this big churchy term called progressive sanctification. Now, what is that? Well, it's a process that God has all of us in who have made a statement to say we're following Jesus. And it's a process he's taking us in to make us look less like ourselves and more like his son, Jesus. And this is a progressive, it's a lifelong thing that the Holy Spirit's taking us through. And I said, the way this works, because Galatians 5, 17 tells us that we have a flesh nature and we have the spirit in us, and it says these two are always in conflict with each other, and we're never free of the conflict. So what it tells us is we have to make a daily choice as to which voice we're listening to in our life. And so I simply say it comes down to this process, the progressive sanctification. How it works is when we say yes to the Holy Spirit's convictions in our lives, we go along with him, right? We trust him to transform us from less like ourselves and more like Jesus. And so for me, again, the goal is to look more like Christ. And so when I came to Christ, right, there were some things that needed to, that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about, right? And so a couple of things I wrote down here. When I came to Christ, he had my attention on my use of alcohol, right? I was drinking excessively, I was getting drunk, all these different things. And, you know, here's a little nudge in my heart and in my mind. Hey, I think there's a better way. This is some of the conversations I'm having with the Holy Spirit. I want you to kind of think about this. The drugs I was using, cigarettes, swearing, how I partied and my desire to be with girls and all that. Friends were a big part of that, listening to the Holy Spirit's conviction on that. Because friends, it's always better to get in trouble with somebody else. So they were a big part of some of these things that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about. And guess what? I'm not done. He's still speaking to me about a whole bunch of stuff. Where he's saying, hey, there's some changes I think you need to make, right? And again, so it's a process, and it's a lifelong process, because really the ultimate goal is that the Holy Spirit is getting us ready for eternity. And God says, be holy as I am holy. And so, look, as Christians, we don't have it all together. It's true. When people say, well, church is full of hypocrites, I don't disagree with that. We have our issues. But that's not what makes church church. We're here because we're in need of a Savior. And yes, we are broken vessels. And yes, we have things we struggle with. And yes, we are in process and we don't have it all together. There's some inconsistencies sometimes that show up. But our desire is to say yes to the things that the Holy Spirit's leading us in. And so again, these are just some of the things that I was thinking about. And so those conversations, you know, are very practical. Holy Spirit wants to talk to me about it. Well, what do you want me to change? What does that look like? And through the help of the Holy Spirit, spiritual mentors, and here's the word friends show up again, godly friends, God takes me through this process and gets me to these places. And so we're talking about this series better. So with that in mind, last week we looked at the impact that God can have in our lives when we begin a new year with better priorities. When we put God first, the rest of our lives fall in order. And that's what we looked at last week. And then today, we're going to look at how people, the people we surround ourselves with, have far-reaching effects. And sometimes it's important for us to focus on these friendships that are in our lives, the people that are present in our lives, and how are they impacting us. So we are going to have our shortest reading of Scripture that we've ever had here today. I'm going to invite you to stand. We are going to pray, and we're going to read this verse from Proverbs. Proverbs 12:26. And I need to make sure this is working. Noah, you might have to advance for me. I don't think my clicker's working. All right. Here it is. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this time that we can be in your word. Lord, we are back in the wisdom literature. You've given us a collection of wisdom here contained in the book of Proverbs. And there's so, again, you really just, your goal for us is to live life free, to live life informed, so that we can succeed in this life. And Proverbs is a great book of things that you have put on people's hearts and minds over the years. I pray, Lord, that we listen to the truth of these words and know that these are your words spoken to us for our benefit. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would illuminate these words, that we would begin to hear your voice very clearly as we get into this verse here today. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, this is a great verse here. The NIV reads this way. The righteous should choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. You may be seated. All right, so what are we learning about relationships from this verse? Basically, our relationships could be a good indicator of the direction of our lives. You know, back in the day, parents used to be at the top of the list when it came to influence in kids' lives. And then, you know, church was like, I think, number three. And all that. Friends, outside of social media, is number one now. It has taken that spot. And so I've always said this as a youth pastor, who you're friends with is of the utmost importance. Who you're keeping company with is so important. And look, again, you know, here we are as adults, right? And so what I want to hedge against is that if this feels like, well, this would be more appropriate for a young person to hear, stop. Because I've known plenty of adults who have kept company with people who are less savory. And again, the goal is that I always hear is, well, you know, somebody's going to reach them. And I'm like, really? And it's taking you 30 years to do that. They still don't know that you're a Christian. You never invited them to church. You never shared who Jesus is with them. So before this is, you start thinking, this is a good message for somebody else. Let's take some time at the beginning of the year and start evaluating our relationships collectively, from young to old here. So this leads me to one key thought here based on what this passage is saying here. People are have great potential impact. The people we spend most of our time with have an incredible influence on who we become. So you think about this, right? We are all in this process of becoming sanctified. And what the scripture is saying is that no matter what age you are at, relationships, the people you keep company with, is of big importance to this process. Okay? is of big importance to this process as we think about becoming holy as God is holy. So to become better in our faith, we may need to, again, make better choices concerning who we spend time with. Now, I don't know how many of you guys know this author, Dale Carnegie. He wrote a book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And he has 5 steps in winning friendships. And they're pretty practical. And so I want to kind of lay these out for you real quickly. He says, look, if you want to gain friends, here's a couple things you can do. Become genuinely interested in other people, right? And so the idea is, you've heard this, right? People don't care to know how much you know until they know how much you care, right? And so you want to win friends. He says this is one of the things you can employ in trying to win friends. He says, how about this? Smile, right? He said, there's nothing better to draw others to you when you light up your face or smile. I mean, we all know when people are grumpy, we don't want to be around them. We tend to gravitate to people who are happy. He says, how about this? Remember names. This one's a tough one for me. I know. It's, again, such a bad trait as a pastor. Remember names. A person's name is the sweetest and most important sound to that person. So if you see Kim and I walking along into a group and I'm leaning in, I'm going, who is that? Right? What's their name? It's, again, terrible. Confession time. He says this, be good listeners. Encourage others to talk about themselves, right? Instead of talking about yourself, encourage them to talk about themselves. And then number 5, he says, talk in terms of other people, a person's interests, right? So this is a little bit more tactical, you know, in the sense of you're trying to find things to connect on, find that common ground. So just for fun this morning, I want you to turn to somebody in the pew and say, which has been the best tool that you've found in your experience in getting friends? So do you understand the question? So you're just going to turn to someone and say, you know what? I found that smiling actually has worked really well in getting friends. So whatever it is on this list, turn to someone and talk about that for a second. Let's have some fun with this. All right, 30 seconds. All right. So let's bring it back in here. So I think if we are being honest today and we're thinking about Scripture, and we think back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis, I think what we see is that we were all created to be in relationship, right? Relationship with our Creator, relationship with each other. I mean, when God created Adam and without Eve, he thought, something's amiss here. Relationship, right? He creates Eve. Again, it's clear here. What's not clear is that although we want friends, we don't always pick the best friends. We don't. And it's true. And so this leads me to my first point here as we think about what the Proverbs is saying to us, is that good relationships, right? If we go think about this, the righteous choose their friends carefully, then this would mean good relationships are not left to chance. Good relationships are not left to chance. And the honesty is that, look, I had friends for all sorts of reasons. Sometimes friends did come about chance because I wasn't being intentional. But the truth is, we're also intentional at times for good friends and bad friends. So I had friends that when I wanted to be rebellious and do bad things, I know who to call. We didn't have text. We actually had to pick a phone, right? Talk, make plans, go out, party. We had all these things aligned. But I also knew the friends that if I wanted to stay out of trouble, I also know who to call, right? I mean, what I love about Scripture here, and if I could just take a moment here, and I used to say this all the time, and I don't mind saying it now, even to adults, is whether you believe in God or not, these things are true. I'm not telling something super spiritual here to you. You just knew who to hang out with when you wanted to do certain things. And you knew who to best hang out with when you wanted to protect yourself from certain things. So again, the reality is, to have good friends takes intentionality. And that's what we're talking about here. So, again, and think about this. Jesus had a lot of friends. He had crowds of people following him, right? But let me just say this about the crowds. The crowds weren't really his close friends. What Jesus knew about the crowds was that was his mission field. He understood these were people he was trying to reach. His close friends actually consisted of 12 guys that followed him and obviously some other women. And then we know even more than that. Within that group of 12, Jesus had three guys that were even closer to him, right? And so we know this, right? We know that he hung out with Peter, James, and Andrew. And again, these were, John, these were the guys that he really dove deep into. And when I was a youth pastor, one of the best things I saw as a diagram that helped me think about friendships and that I used to share with the students in Lions when it comes to choosing friends, right, intentionally, was this circle of friendship. It was the three rings of circle of friendship. Have you guys ever seen this? I was first introduced to it by an author, a pastor I was reading, Andy Stanley, years ago. And so here's what it looks like, right? Circle of friendship. This is a great visual aid for us as we think about making some choices or discernment when it comes to friends. And the outer ring was called the circle of concern. So that's that outer green ring. The circle of concern represents people or friends that we were concerned about, right? These were people that were either Christians or non-Christians. People were going through hard things, and we worried about them. And so the idea was these were people that we were hoping to reach, the circle of concern. This is Jesus' mission field, right? These are people we want to influence. Now, the second circle was the circle of influence. The second circle here represents people who will influence us and people we will influence. It's a shared circle, a shared ideas, right? We let people in. We listen to the ideas that they're conveying. We're accepting those things. They're listening to us. There's a shared mutual ground, common ground, right? And so these are people where there's shared involvement. And then the last circle was called the circle of intimacy. This was a circle that was reserved for that man or that woman that you would marry one day and would come into the most intimate areas and share life with you in the most intimate ways. Now, what I loved about this circle of friendship, right, it really helped me see from a visual standpoint of where certain people fell. It also showed people that when you have sometimes romantic issues going on, at the possibility of where they were drawing from. Sometimes people would grab people that they were concerned about and bring them into the circle of intimacy. And now we see all sorts of conflict. This is actually a really great thing in lines of diagnosing relationships and where things are at. Where you really want to bring people from is that circle of influence into the intimacy circle, not get it the other way around. And so again, I just thought this was a great moment to bring this up as we're talking about how do we do relationships better here in the new year. And if relationships are part of the process that God is taking us through, shaping us into the men and women that he wants us to become, looking more like his son Jesus, I wanted you to see visually how friends play a role in that. So, what else are we learning about relationships and doing them better? Well, I think the second thing we need to look at is this. We need to look for godly attributes, okay? It's one thing to just know the different circles, but now we're adding an extra layer into this, right? And now we're saying, look, the only way we can avoid relationships by chance and develop friendships by choice is by looking for characteristics that are godly. And so I love this because the Apostle Paul wrote to this idea because guess what? There's nothing new under the sun. Relationships have always been a challenge all throughout history. And Paul addresses this actually in a very well-known passage here, 1 Corinthians 13. And he says this in verses 4 and 7. And so he's talking about godly attributes. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes and always preserves. Paul is outlining for us here this morning in the scriptures what true relationships built on the love of God looks like in our lives. Here is a concise list of things that we should be looking for in our relationships. These are godly attributes that God lays out for us to look for when it comes to doing our relationships better. And again, I keep going back to this. If friends, relationships are the number one influence in our lives, we need to take this seriously. We need to think through this critically. So for me, I want to connect with people who are patient and kind. I want to trust people who are not self-seeking or proud. I want to have friendships that always protect one another and preserve through difficult times. Being aware of people that are in our sphere of influence and noticing when someone demonstrates these attributes, this is what Paul is saying just may be the best way to develop a better relationship for the new year. This is what the Apostle Paul is laying out for us. So I was thinking about this, and I'm a big movie guy, and this past Monday, as you guys know, we just celebrated Martin Luther King Day. Has anybody ever seen the movie 42? Thank you. Yeah, and so it was kind of the story of Jackie Robinson, his story of breaking into Major League Baseball, being the first black player to do that, and the challenges that came along with it. And there's a great story. I've heard different versions. The movie tells it a little bit differently. But there's a story that describes a situation that while playing one day in his home stadium, Brooklyn, he committed an error. Jackie committed an error on the field, and the fans started to ridicule him. I mean, they had every reason to ridicule him just for the fact that his skin was different. And so they found any excuse. And so in this day, he commits this error. He's feeling humiliated. The fans are helping him. And right at the tension here, the way the story is told, is that the shortstop, Pee Wee Reese, comes over and puts his arm around him right in the middle of the game and faces the crowd. Faces the crowd, and the stadium quiets. Now, the movie, like I said, it plays out a little bit differently, but all the same, here's Pee Wee Reese coming along someone in a very difficult situation, and he puts his arm around him. And I have to say, there's probably some of us this morning who needs a Pee Wee Reese in our life right now. We need that person to come around us. When the crowds are jeering at us and they're mocking us and they're getting in our face, we need those friends who are going to just stand there and face the crowds with us and put their arm around us. And again, I just think about that. And so the question for us this morning is, do you have somebody who will do that in your life? Who embodies the patience and the kindness and the humility and the love and truth that we read about and the joy that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13. Again, this is time to evaluate, take inventory. What are your friendships look like? Do you have those type of people in your life? Because when life throws you difficult circumstances, and trust me, they're going to come. You're going to have issues with jobs. You're going to have issues with marriages. You're going to have issues that... with addictions, there's sinful temptations. Sin does not discriminate, by the way. It comes after all of us. We're going to need those people to be in our lives, to be in our corners, who are going to walk with us. And again, so I look at this, Proverbs, right? 12:26, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. The people who live righteous lives are people who choose friends carefully. And so we need to take this. Now, I want to conclude this morning here with one last thing when we're talking about choosing friends, because it's something that I don't think gets covered too much. But in light of everything we're learning, the question is, what kind of friend are you? What kind of friend are you? The truth is that in order for us to have better relationships, we must also be people that others are attracted to. I used to tell my girls this all the time. I don't know if they're here. One's writing there. She's taking notes, I know. Taking good sermon notes this morning. And I tell my girls all the time, look, if you want friends, you have to be a friend. If you want friends, you have to be a friend. And so the question again, if we're honest, what kind of friends are we? Are we trustworthy? Are you kind? Are you forgiving? Do you have the other's interest best in mind? Paul actually writes about this in Romans 12:10. He says, look, he says, be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Again, Paul's giving us instructions for individuals to live meaningful relationships, right, with one another. And rather than just expect everyone to catch your and my own needs, right, he's saying, how about you take some time to listen? How about you show concern for the other person? It seems rudimentary, right, stuff here, but again, it's worth mentioning because it's in the Bible. And the Word of God is God's word for instruction for our lives. We need to contemplate these things. We need to stop and think about these things. As Paul's inviting us to love others, he actually uses the word here, Philadelphia, right? So if you read that in there, if you know what Philadelphia, right? Brother and sister in love, be devoted to one another in brotherly and sisterly love. That's what he's saying here. And then he takes it the next step up, and he says, honor. Honor others above yourselves. There's a deep connection that is being made as part of God's family. So here, let me just wrap up real quickly. I'll say this again. Jesus, again, if we look at his life, he's probably the greatest example that we can look at when it comes to being a friend, right? He showed humility and service through his life, his death, and resurrection. He showed what real relationships look like, and he demonstrated for us this as well. And look, go back to this. As we think about New Year's commitments and things like that we want to accomplish, how serious are we being about spiritual things we want to accomplish? Does the Holy Spirit have your ear and your heart? Like I said, I'm starting with four things, somewhat kind of random, but it's just to get the creative juices going for you. See, I believe the Holy Spirit's speaking all the time, constantly to us. But again, it gets back down to it. Are we listening? Are we saying yes, or are we leaning more into our flesh on things? I'm going to leave you with this verse here from Mark 12, because I think it really captures well the last 2 weeks, last week and this week. It says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, right? Priorities. Better priorities. And then he says this, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Better relationships. So as we dive into this new year, how's that going for you? Is God first in your life? And second to that, what kind of relationships do you have going on in your life? Are these relationships pushing you towards Jesus? Or taking you away from Jesus? Let's pray. God, I thank you for this time together. And I thank you for your words and the wisdom of them. Lord, I pray that we would never approach a church service or a passage of scripture feeling like we know it. If we're hearing it, it's probably for a reason. So God, as we think about how we might do relationships better this year, I pray, Lord, that we would evaluate the people that are in our lives. And that's not to say that you don't care for everybody. But there is a process going on for us. And we so badly need those who are going to encourage us in faith, who are going to push us to be more like your Son. Your care for the world is clear. It's that great commission to lead others to a loving relationship with you. We're going to talk about that soon here. But our discipleship is just as important. We can't give people what we don't have to offer. So I pray, Lord, that we would continue to be shaped into the men and women who look more like your Son, Jesus, and that would happen daily. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This time, we just invite you to stand as we close in song here. As the worship team's coming up again, I just want to remind you there's a sign-up sheet for bowling over there. We hope that you join us and, again, have some fun and some community, playing some games together.